Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Sermon for today, the third Sunday in Lent, I've entitled God's Comfortable Word. It's written by the late Most Reverend John T. Cahoon, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. He gave the sermon back in March 15, 1998. But it's a good one, and I'll relay it to you all. If you watch sports or other public events on television for long enough, you will see someone who has the legend John 3:16 emblazoned on his hat or on his shirt or some sort of makeshift sign. The 16th verse of the third chapter of the Gospel according to St. John reads, "So God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end, that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So for us Anglicans, it would probably make more immediate sense if the t-shirt legend read instead, "Second Comfortable Word." As a one-verse summary of the Christian religion, John 3:16 works pretty well. Today's lessons are both about the devil's work and, if you'll excuse the pun, in light of that fact, I want to take a look at what comes just after the 16th verse. Jesus is speaking. He continues his argument by saying that God sent him into the world not to condemn it, but to save it. To condemn means to sentence to death. What sentences the world to death is the law. When we measure our lives by God's law, we discover we have not kept it. And that provokes most justly God's wrath and indignation against us. What saves the world is admitting the truth about ourselves, saying we are sorry, and receiving forgiveness through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. He goes on to say that the believer is not condemned, but the unbeliever is condemned already. In this context, believers are not people who think there is a God and that Jesus might just be special in some way. Believers are people who accept God's judgment upon them and then repent and claim forgiveness. God's condemnation remains upon unbelievers precisely because they refuse to accept the only way to escape it. It is what Jesus says next that echoes today's epistle particularly. I quote, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." So Jesus associates sin and evil with darkness and secretiveness and fear of exposure. When St. Paul talks about evil activities in today's epistle, he uses the same image, saying, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." The point both of them are making is that when we do bad things, we want to hide them so we won't be found out. The basic pattern of sinful behavior is, first, do a bad or disobedient thing. Then, try to cover it up by hiding it and rationalizing it out. And if that doesn't work, then blame it on someone else. That pattern is as old as Adam and Eve. Sin always has three parts: action, cover-up, and blame shift. But the pattern is the absolute antithesis of the character and the work of Jesus. He is light of light. He has come here not to reinforce our desire to cover things up and evade our responsibility, but instead to get us to bring everything up to the surface. Jesus says also in St. John chapter 3, "He who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God." He means that the more you can discipline yourself to look at yourself, as objectively as God looks at you, the better off you will be. When we really allow the light of Christ to shine on us, we see that the good things come about us from God, and that we can repent and be forgiven for the bad things. We cannot lose. God's light shines on you, whether you like it or not. And no matter how much you may fantasize about hiding truth from Him, He sees the whole truth about you very clearly. No matter how good you may be at hiding that truth from other people or from yourself. That is the point we make at the beginning of every communion service. God is the one unto whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid. As St. Paul puts it, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The good news is that you don't have to hide, and you don't have to pretend. The better news is that God knows everything there is to know about you, but He loves you enough to send His Son to die for you anyway. John 3:16. Now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as His most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.